It's just different.
Hopeless at one point, and they have an opportunity to make you go harder, make you get in that booth and just really express that hopelessness. Like, man, y'all don't understand. This is like, you know what I mean? You dig from a different place. That bottom of your soul, that pit, homie, where you felt like the shit was, you know what I'm saying? You always wanted, but it looked like it was just not gonna happen.
Shit, if in your mind it ain't gonna happen, shit, it probably won't. I took some risks, some people probably won't. Pass our grace before the fruits of all my labor. Hard to live and know you sick. I'd rather be with my creator, thinking time's up.
One. All right, welcome back to another episode of Foresight Podcast. This is your host, Mike Obi.
And it's your boy, London Ogletree, back for some more gems. What's up, my guy?
My man, you know what it is. It's just another week, another day, and another week, and life is still busy as ever, but you know, we're just taking it one day at a time. It's crazy I say that. Like, if you ask anybody on my job or anybody on our staff, and they're like, what is the three words that could, or like, what is the one sentence that could sum up Coach Obi one day at a time? Like, that's just how I live life, you know what I'm saying? I get into it, I get slow.
I think that's how you got to keep it. Just keep it in that mindset. And I think going into the year, it was for us to just lock in and get the most important thing was stacking our money and making sure we had the best situation for us possible. But at the same time, we're coming to the end of the year. So my thing is trying to finish this year out the best I can and then not waiting that way. I can just start it in New Year's, and I'm trying to finish this out as strong as I can so I can go on with that mentality of just let's keep it going. Let's keep smooth sailing. So same thing, different day, same week. I mean, different week, different day.
Yeah, I never understood like New Year's resolution mindset. It's like, why would you want to wait to make improvements in your life, man? As soon as I find something, I try to implement it. Whether it's like, especially if it's good, and I know that's some game, like I try to implement that as soon as possible. Now, it's one thing of not knowing the answers, of saying this is the one area I want to focus on, but this whole thing of I want to wait to get in shape, I want to wait to not be broke. I'm like, I don't understand that at all.
Bro. Honestly, if you go on from a weightlifting aspect of it,
yeah,
and if say it's the December 15th or something. If you give yourself another 15 days just to do what you want, that can set you back by the first and then put you at a spot where you don't want to. 15 days, you can do a lot of damage in that time.
Yeah, no, that's 100% right. I never heard it that way before, but you're correct, because that 2 weeks, you think of how much damage. You and I are both big guys who are trying to slim down and who have done the slimming down. Imagine how much damage we can do in a 2 week time period of just saying, nope, we're just going to eat whatever we want. And then we'll focus on getting cut.
That's why I say that, because I know what 2 weeks can do for me. Two weeks can do me some 20 wings, a fry, and some 5 chicken strips, 6 chicken strips. Do that about 4 or 5, do about 3 or 4 times a week. That's about 8 times. Yeah, you definitely gain about 10, 12 pounds, then you put yourself back. So just don't attack it. So
most definitely. But nonetheless, you know, we appreciate all you guys who continue to rock with us, continue to listen to us, tap in with us. And we just ask you to continue to do so by subscribing and sharing the movement, you know, and spreading the word. But the theme of this week's episode, you know, we're at Thanksgiving, we're the week of Thanksgiving, you know, around here. And you know, I think with just stick with the spirit of the time, I think it's just a good moment to be able to use this week's episode just to stop and take a look at life. So, I mean, you know, we live in a hustle culture, and we talk about this all the time, that creates a mindset where people have to look at what they don't have rather than what they do have. And I think that, you know, kind of creates a lack of appreciation or a lack of gratitude. Like, you know, I know me, I try to express like being thankful just for the little things that I have afforded to me, being able to live in a place like America, like despite all the obstacles, despite all the challenges, despite all the tension that, you know, people might talk about. It's like at the end of the day, I'm able to wake up and be healthy and be able to have a chance. So that's the way I kind of look at life. But just for you and where we're at, where you're at, you know, what are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's so easy for, depending on your mindset that you might have in your whole day-to-day. But for me, it's like I sometimes lose focus on the good things that did happen to me in life. And then I'm always like, how do I keep getting? And then instead of just taking a step back and being grateful for what you do have, it's kind of like we do have a place over our head. We do have a car. We're able to pay our bills. We're able to do certain things. So it's like, around this time, around Thanksgiving, around Christmas, you definitely get that you might go to Friendsgivings, you might go to your spouse's family's house, you might go travel with them, you might get to see the beauty of just like, dang, this is what life is about. This is why we go so hard from January the first, the quarter one of January, February, March, and then April, May, June. These are the times, reason why we go that hard, so we can sit back and say, because at that time in the beginning of the year, you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I working hard? And then when everything slows down at the end of the year, you're just kind of like sitting here and thankful for everything. So for me, I sometimes have to slap my hand on the wrist, like, wake up. It's okay. It's okay to like be down about wanting to be great, but at the same time, pat yourself on the back and help others at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, if you even look at us two, and at least I was when I brought back the podcast, you know, at back in January, and even looking at us till now, I mean, how I changed, like I could see it in real time. And that's part of the reason why I like doing this hobby, is because you get to see the maturation and the growth, like week after week after week, in the way that you speak and what you speak and how you speak it and what you talk about. Like the thing that we probably valued talking about in our discussions at the beginning of when we started versus now, I mean, it's even like different priorities, man. And then I think that's just to the maturity, like you always talk about it. It's a matter of just really being able to go out and live life. And, you know, I like certain content creators I know and follow say that life happens off air and off camera and off social media. And I think that's as true as it's been. So I've been trying to just take priority of like, okay, go out and figure things out, go out and learn, go out and experience things, try, fail, and then pick yourself up and keep trying again. And I think naturally you start to build a better character about stuff. You start to learn about how you want to live, how you don't want to live. And, you know, especially you just figure out what you're about and what you're strong at. Try to hone in on those strengths, try to fix your weaknesses, my opinion.
No, I think what you said about that trial and error is that's the only way you can become, I can speak on it from like a man perspective. That's the only way you can become a man is just trial and error. And like something that I emphasize, I do really well in my day job and do this, but at the same time, if you keep getting complacent though at the back end of it and you don't take that jump of trial and error and going to still have that hustle mentality, I think you personally will fail, because at the same time, you do make a lot of money. But at the same time, like you just said, when we started this, our perspective on this podcast, I think, was more driven towards relationship, which it still is. But at the same time, I think we're giving a full concrete answer of the whole picture, instead of maybe it could have started off sounded as just, because like we did get some feedback of like, you guys are going to say it from a woman's perspective, this and this. I think now we're giving a full perspective, but adding a touch of life into it. And I think that's, we just both come off as mature now, and the little things that did matter to us around last January or February, it just doesn't matter the same anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we're talking about is that we've been able to find out how to create a holistic approach to, you know, like living life and as a human being, where it's like, okay, not only are we going to talk about dating relationships, because that's a part, but we're also going to talk about career, we're also going to talk about life and mindset. And I think us being different, we have the same core values, but we approach it different ways, kind of gives a unique vantage point of, hey, you can go the L way, you can go the Mike way, you can try to find your own twist, your own authenticity, right? But it's a matter of just being able to go through a maturation process of like, okay, at first, maybe I would say that at the beginning of the season, people would have argued that our viewpoint was a little bit more cynical. You know, yeah. It may have sounded even more cynical of like, yeah, there's no hope. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing you really could do. Right. And then it's like, well, but you just have to work on you, work on yourself, and do the healing. And then once you do that, then you start to realize, okay, the stuff that caused people issues more so caused them the issue because they haven't done the work to either be confident in themselves or to be able to pull, like, have something that they can hone in on. Like, I think for me, one thing I look at is the fact that I became a teacher and a coach. Like, I used to use that as someone was like, you know, like money and whatever the case may be. But now I'm like, nah, because this is a way of holding myself accountable, where when I tell my kids, when I tell whomever or something.
It's a step of a stone. It's a stepping stone of like.
Yeah, it's a stepping stone in life. And it's like, I tell them, everything I tell them is not something I wouldn't do myself, or somebody who around me wouldn't have done or wouldn't have taught me to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's that means of like, hey, you have to be mature, not just for you, but for them, because people are looking up to, like, my moms and them always, and all these aunties and all these old mentors are like, you know, these kids look up to you. And I'm like, for what? And like, I'm just a teacher. And they're like, nah, man, you set an example. And so knowing that or being told that, I try to take that seriously. So I think with that, when you take certain responsibilities seriously, you take life seriously, and when taking life seriously, you naturally carry yourself a different way.
Dang, I like how you worded that. I'm gonna need you to figure out how you just worded that, and then we need to, because that's actually true. It's like,
yeah,
putting your emphasis in different things in life makes you change how you move in life. Like I said, I don't like going to club no more. I don't like, I'm like, I do post on Instagram, but it's like, it's more of like, I post and I get off of it. Now. I don't just be over there scrolling no more. And like every week I go in there, I see my downtime down another 40%. I'm like, I'm just never on my phone no more. Cause I just don't, the stuff that I did care about as a, like a year ago, is just the stuff I don't care about now. Now I'm focused on getting properties, getting me a house, building a good relationship. And like, those are things that I'm putting my emphasis on now. So it's, that just something that just sits differently with me. So I need you to figure out how to get those words you just said so I can use them. I'm going to steal that one.
I mean, I think what happens is just people have to learn how to build towards the long game, and we in a now culture, right? Where it's like, I want to, you know, feel good now. I want my way now. I want to only see how I want to see things now in this present moment. But it's like, yo, the actions that you commit today are going to affect you down the road. It's the main thing I tell my athletes. And again, this is everything that I was taught and that I try to bestow to the next generation. And life comes full circle. And it's funny, I'm a history teacher, because I always talk about history repeating itself. All I'm doing is trying to take the mistakes in the past that I've made and other people have made, and trying to teach me and try to write them as best I can. It's not going to be perfect. I think that's another thing I had to look past of like, I'm glad I have a mindset that is built on trying to evolve and pivot and trying to learn and, you know, not get so stuck in the past. I was a person who was like that. And I think even being grateful is understanding where you came from or how you were once at one point in time. And it's like, and I'm just like, hey, I don't take this stuff personally. You keep on moving. And I'm like, look, what I'm trying to do now is going to build me for later on down the road. Cause you know, I still have time on my side. I'm still young. So while I'm young, I'm trying to figure out as much as I can. And I'm trying to bestow as much game as I can. And I think that's where you leave a true impact on the world. And with leaving an impact on the world, you know, you're only going to leave it in a better place.
I have a question. So, you know how, do you think the kids and the new millennials coming up now that you're like a history, I don't think it's even millennials now, but they call something else, but you being history, Zen who?
Gen Z,
yeah. Them. So the history teacher and you're a coach now, do you think they look at you now and like, oh, this is the hating ass dude like this, versus, because like, I'm sure there was grown-ups who was like, I want to like impact other people of like, of what I did wrong. And we was kids like, man, this man just old talking about some stuff that don't make no sense to us. Do you think they're doing the same thing and it's hard for them to change their ways because they have to hit their head first before they can kind of say like, dang, Coach Obi was right?
That's a great question, L. Here's the thing. I think what happens for me is I purposefully do things. You can ask some of my athletes, you can ask my other coaching staff too. Me being that I was a kid who saw both sides of the spectrum, like I was a person who got along with teachers, but then I also had friends who hated school. And so I got to see both sides of why things were what they were. Right. And so my thing is I try to marriage the two mindsets together, and I try to create a culture and a mindset that is like, look, this is all about accountability. Right. I'm not the type of coach. Like I make sure before I punish any of my students, like whether it's a consequence in the classroom, or whether it's, you know, maybe making them run outside, before I make them do anything, I'm like, hold on.
John.
I tell them, Coach Obi's trying to what? I make them say it. I'm trying to help you. Right. I wouldn't do this if I wanted the worst. If I really didn't care. And it's something I had to learn the hard way. Then I wouldn't just say anything and I let you fail. But no, I'm trying to unprogram your mindset from being a loser or from, you know, trying to let you go the short route. So I think there are times where the kid's mind wants to do it. And I think most of the time it does, because it's like they're a kid, they're trying to figure it out. You know, we're at a pivotal age where they're trying to mature and trying to find their own independence, but they're still a kid. And I think at this like eighth grade where I'm teaching at, I have to remember that sometimes I'm like, man, I get mad sometimes, I'm like, man, F, and then I'm like, wait a minute, okay, I gotta remember these are still kids at the end of the day. They're like, they're impressionable, and at the end of the day they want someone to have their back. And I think the main thing, like, because I have those conversations too, like when I have to pull a kid outside and I have to talk to him one-on-one, or during my off period when I get called to a room, or if a kid, like, my door will be open and they're like, hey, coach, can I come sit in your room? And, you know, I'm like, okay, what's up? And then they'll be like, I got kicked out. Damn. I'm like, why'd you get kicked out? Or I'll poke fun at him. Like, man, you failed me, yo. You want a mine, you got kicked out of class. Now they're going to look at me. No, it wasn't even like that. I'm like, yeah, but see, you're in my class and I teach you how to be accountable, and they know that. You know what I'm saying? So it's because I'm able to kind of, I have a personality that is very much like teacher slash mentor slash counselor slash psychologist slash disciplinarian. I know how to kind of make sure, like, okay, I don't do too much of one thing, right? Like, I would say that I'm meaner than I thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to be this happy go, you know, just kind of chill, my mannered coach. And then I'm like, you know, coach, like a guy's like selling them short sword, and I got to get on them. And I'm like, I make them run, and I'm tough on them. So I think in those instances where I have to instill tough love, they're like, man, this guy's, but then they can't say I'm old because they, like, that was, this was a thing. I know I'm rambling on, but this was a thing, like, for the most part of the years, like, how old are you, coach? And then when they found out I wasn't that old, they're like, dang, well, we can't really call him old. He's just honest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they can relate more to somebody their age. And I think my mom, she raised me kind of like that. And I see her do that with my niece. And, like, I didn't kind of see when I was a kid because I was getting whooped or something. And I'm thinking, like, why are y'all whooping me? But, like, now that I grew up, I'm like, that's probably why I don't think it was, like, abuse, because I'm like, I did something to deserve that. And then now I see that from a grown-up perspective. I see how my niece does something, and my mom will be like, Aspen, and she'd be like, the reason why Nanny's doing this is because I love you. This is because of this. I don't want you to go out there and, like, I don't want you to be doing this in class. I don't want you to be doing this in school. So this is the reason why I'm gonna whoop you. And then that's when she'll be like, you know what, Nanny, I'm sorry. And she'll be like, I love you. And then if my mom does proceed in doing that, then she will, but then she knows that it's like, I'm educating you, I'm making sure you're not doing it, and I'm also giving you the love, and I'm being a disciplinary person to kind of make sure that you're making it to the next step in your life.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, one thing I started doing, and it's kind of fun, it's funny and it's fun, but I know the kids hate it, is, like, I'm not the type of teacher who likes to call parents or, like, to email parents, right? But what I have started doing is, like, I'll be outside doing duty or something, especially if the kid's like an athlete, he's getting picked up. And I'd be like, hey, yo, is this your people's? Oh, well, now that I have the opportunity, you know,
so right.
I'd be like, oh, what's going on, mom or dad? Hey, I'm Coach Obi. And this is where, like, they know, like, the kid will look at me, they're like, no, please, please. I'm like, no. See, here's the thing. Your child is wonderful. I love having them in class. Here's the only thing I would fix, right? And because you start off kind of like, now it's real time, they can see you. It's like, okay, this is a name to a face who's actually, like, here talking to me, the parent, making that effort, rather than just someone, you know, calling them or emailing them.
Calling them.
Right. It's not that personability. And then I always make sure to start off by saying, look, like, this is a bright young kid, bright future. You know what I'm saying? They have all the tools. And then I tell them, like, okay, but here's the only thing, whether it's, like, they get distracted or the phone or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, like, I tell them in class, it's all just an effort to help them, because their parents can't see them. You know, the parents don't know what's going on when they're at school. So this is when I tell them, like, hey, this is going on, you know, because while they're here at school and while they have, I'm in class, like, I'm kind of responsible for them. So it's just on me to tell you, the parent, what's going on, and then y'all can fix it. Or if there's something I can do, then just let me know, and then boom, we can go. Because maybe it's just, like, the way I'm communicating, it may not be beneficial to the kid. Like, that's one thing, me being open-minded, is, like, not every kid likes to be talked to the same way. Some kids you have to be stern with, and then some, like, that's the only way they're going to hear you. Other kids, they don't like that. If you could tell them mild-mannedly, they can get it. Finding that out from mom and dad, you know, helps.
I'm sure this is going to help you be able to raise your kids even better.
Yeah,
because now you're starting to see how kids are, and, like, now you're starting to be like, okay, I've seen this before. Like, this is nothing new, and, like, you're not the answer. The answer is not always to, like, just whoop them or something. It could be like, I might just have to just scream at them really loud, or I might have to just talk to them softly. It doesn't always have to result in that. So I think that's beneficial for you, because I don't know how I'm gonna act when I have a kid. Yeah. I might be how I saw me grow up.
Right,
get your ass over here. Why are you speaking? Oh, my bad. Let's not say nothing else. So I don't know how I'm gonna be. It's like, Cat's probably gonna be better at that than me in the beginning. It's like, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. So
It's
that's
crazy
dope,
because
actually.
my kids ask me all the time. They're like, "Coach, do you have kids? Coach, you married?" I'm like dealing with y'all. Nah, man, don't wish that upon me yet. But this next part is talking about like understanding winning and experiencing loss and giving people like that maturity and perspective. It's kind of the theme of what we've been going over, like winning and having like winning moments or like having your triumphs in life, and then understanding how to overcome failure or overcome, adversity. I think that's what naturally gives people their maturity and perspective. So, just on that topic alone, what are you thinking or what comes to mind?
I think by human nature, and it's just known that you are automatically going to dwell more on your losses than your wins, and you forget how much you're actually winning because that's exactly what you want. And then that's why I say a lot of us are ungrateful, and it's we don't do it intentionally, but it's like you might have people, and this might be like under throwing the bus, people like if I ever get this, I'll never do this again. They might go do something different. It's like we're taking that for granted. It's like be appreciative of what we do have and what we came so far to do. Like everybody that we're like peers of, we've all put ourselves in a situation to be great, and we all have the resources to be great. But one thing I will say is I don't recommend, and I'm a victim of this all the time. Don't stop because you're losing. Don't stop because like it's just not happening right now. We are like my dad told me this yesterday. He was like, out of any 26-year-old I've ever met, you're further than them. But like I tell him, like I'm in it in my eyes, I'm in a whole different category of like who I see. I have a best friend who's made it from the social media world. I have another best friend who's working in corporate America who's about to do it again. And it's like I got you who's hustling right now, trying to make his brand for his fragrances, and he's going out here and doing it out the just mud and doing like that. So for me, I'm around people who motivate me and push me, and it's like you can't get too down on your losses because all of us are winning, but just be happy about the wins you do have, and it's okay to be down on your losses, but get back up and the next day keep going as hard as you did the day before. That's
You
what I would
brought
say.
up some really good points there. I think the first one I want to tackle is just not getting so caught up on loss, or not even your loss, but just don't get too in your head about like where you want to be. Instead, understand where you're getting and where you've gotten to, right? And just like, okay, as long as you're taking steps forward, because I L knows me as good as anybody else, really. Like how I'll come to him, like, man, bro, I'm not there yet. What am I doing? What else I got to do? And he has to kind of be like, Mike, like keep going, just to keep doing what you're doing. And you need a supportive community of people around you who are wanting to see you succeed. So sometimes, like, whether it's them holding you accountable, hey, I need you to post more stuff. Like, he'll tell me, hey, Mike, you got to stop worrying about, how many people are going to see it or what you're posting about, and just do it because people need to see it, right? It's having that in place. And then also, I think the other part that L talked about was running your own race. He talked about one guy who took the route of social media, one guy took the route of corporate America, and I have my route and my niche that I went into. As long as you're excelling in your niche that you've carved out for yourself, that's the definition of winning. It's not winning by other people's standards. If you try to live your life based on the standards of based on the race that you have that someone else has carved out for you, you always gonna lose, right? Especially, go ahead.
I was gonna say quick. Steve Harvey said a quote that to me was just he was like, when you was born, God gave everybody a gift, and you have to go search for that gift. He was like, you can look at a barber and say, if so, because we told our parents we're trying to be a barber, they would have looked at us like we was crazy. They would have looked at us like we was like, why would you want to go in that profession? Steve Harvey said, I have a barber who I pay about $67,000 a month off of just my head, and he was like, he makes way over six figures, and that's he went off of his passion and his love. It might have took, I don't know his path, but it might have took him so long to get there. But it's like, who's to say you might just be in a store looking at fragrances and looking at different things, trying to push your stuff together. You might run into one of the biggest persons who distributes something. They might just like how your vibe is, and you just formed a connection, and then you could have got successful off that. And then if you did get successful off it, it's not like everybody sees that you get successful. And now they want to just jump on there. That's why I tell you, I'm like, keep going. Don't stop, because it's like nobody's going to love your gift as much as you. So it's like if somebody don't love it, it's not for everybody to love it. This is my gift. This is what I like to do. And if nobody likes it, that's fine. If I do fail, it will be on my terms. But if I do make it, I'm still going to love y'all. But I get it, because there's things that we do naturally like, nah, that's probably not gonna work, bro. And
Yeah.
then it does work. We like, oh shoot, you shut me up. So it's like we gotta be more supportive as parents, friends, spouses, whatever. So that's why I just like keep going. 'Cause I'm like, you just never know.
No, but most definitely. I mean, again, and sometimes it takes cutting out bad company too, or people who want to see you fall. Like, and they put that negative thinking in your brain. Like, your mind's powerful, and your mind will tell you, and it's as strong as you make it. And you're capable you're capable of as much as you tell yourself you are. Like, and it's all about having a plan. A plan doesn't mean that you slow down, but it's just urgency without a plan, though, is a perfect recipe for failure. Urgency with no plan is a perfect recipe for failure. What I mean by that is, if people just keep telling you to do stuff, or if you're just doing things without no purpose, without no direction, I mean, are you really preparing yourself to be successful? But like, for me, who is like, okay, like with season two of the podcast, okay, first we wanted to do this. First, we wanted to get some episodes underneath our belt. Then we'll evolve to a studio, and having all of that let the foundation laid, we're doing stuff where we're progressing towards it. Now, everybody wants to get the finished product. It's the same thing with me and fragrances. Everybody wants me to just have a new brand already off rip. It's like, there's been like, to build a successful business takes a lot of planning, a lot of homework, and a lot of search. So at the end of the day, you just have to keep on progressing and keep on loving and enjoying the marathon and the journey. And I mean, a lot of people want to get to the end and want to finish the race, but it's like all the getting in shape, training your mind, training your body, training, your finances, getting financially literate, understanding all the intricacies of a business. All of that is needed and is even more vital than just simply having a finished product where you're trying to sell it, in my opinion.
I think I get so that's what I do get mad at. I'm cool at having losses. I'm cool with not getting it as much as fast as another person because you have your own journey. I get mad at people who just don't want it as bad as me is because I'm like, we're so young and we're 26, 25, 24. And that's why I do give us millennials credit too, that we do go hard at that. But it's like, I need us millennials to go harder, me included. Like I think that's what we're missing. Like we're comfortable with seeing a certain amount of dollar come in, and it's not all about money, but for me it's like we talked about, was it's the long game. If you want to think about the long game, you got to think about, I think so far ahead. I think about my kids, that's not even here. I don't think about my wife that have like that I'm trying to potentially build up to and get that to, and then all those things I go for that. So it's like, as a man, and if I'm speaking to other men in here, it's like, if you do have 2 to 3 to 4 or 500 to whatever you have in your account, it's not too late to start now. But it's like, you have to start at some point and be like, whatever you're making, take half of your check, put that away, and keep doing that and keep doing that. So to me, it's just, I think the long game will make you rich. And it's not like we don't always have to be like, oh, I have to hit the lottery so I can do this. It's okay to wait 30, 40 years. You might get rich at 30, 35, but it takes that acceptance of I'm gonna go that hard to get there. And if it doesn't happen at 25, 26, hopefully it happens off my 35, 36. But I need everybody at least try.
Yeah, Don, man, that boy London, man. Y'all better watch out for him. He on fire. But here's the one, from what you talked about, the one experience I had in life that made me like that was football, right? Because I was a Persian, I ain't go D1. Now, I mean, keeping it real and understanding this as you get older, there are not a lot of D1 programs looking for a 6 foot, 250 pound nose tackle. You can find that a dime a dozen. You can't find them off of that 6'3", 300, right? But what I used to get mad at, more importantly, was the people who would waste their opportunity. What I mean, like, I would meet certain guys who they were signing, and then they talk about, oh yeah, I was just chilling my senior year, I really didn't take it that seriously. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying? Or they sign, and then you hear stuff about them getting kicked off the team for doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing. It's like, bro, do you understand the opportunity you've been, especially now with this NIL stuff, the opportunity that you've been afforded, and you're gonna waste that on something that you really shouldn't be doing? Or you took that momentary high, that momentary, win for a lifetime loss. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're off the team. Now all that money that you had the potential of earning, if that's what you wanted, you've lost that, and your future generations have lost that. You talk about that from high school to college to NFL. I still get annoyed when I see like NFL players get arrested or get suspended or whatever the case because of DUI, because of nightclub, because of fighting, because of whatever. I'm like, bro,
crazy. Like, I that's one of my pet peeves as well. Like, because I just know I'm a. I think it's because I'm mad at myself. And because like I sometimes try to blame my dad in that way because he got my brother 6'5", I'm 6'4", I'm 255, he 260, 270. So it's like we both big, you big. So it's like we know how hard we grind and we don't get nothing from it besides just good looks and good results.
Right.
Don't let me get a D1 offer still. And then they telling me and scouts telling me, oh yeah, these scouts from the NFL, the NBA are looking at you. I already don't even like seeing people. So it's like, I'm not going to do nothing but work out and go run on the field or something. Like when I was in Brenham and when I went to Brenham and Blinn, they had like a football field and everybody's like, do you think you should walk on? I thought it was just too late for me to try to play football in my life. So I was like, nah, but you would see me on the field with like parachutes and just running ladders and running the track. I'm like, why am I doing this for? I just like to grind. So it's like, that's one of my pet peeves as well. So I'm like, y'all don't even understand how fast this can get stripped away. And then when it does get stripped away, was them girls? Was that club? Was them drugs? Was that worth it? And I'm like, it's not. But is this? It takes maturity and growing to learn. Thank God we're just able to like you said, you saw your teachers and you saw the people who didn't care in school. Thank God we're able to peep game like that in different sectors to be like, okay, I ain't gonna really say too much, but I'm just gonna peep the teachers, I'm gonna peep the principal, I'm gonna peep the students, I'm gonna put all y'all in one class and I'm gonna just take bits and pieces from all y'all, and that's I'm gonna be perfect, and then I'm gonna do it my way. And then that's what I did growing up. I'm like, I'm gonna peep this, I'm gonna peep that, and I'm gonna be one person, I'm gonna be the greatest thing at that. And that's why I feel like a lot of people be like, we're different.
Yeah,
but not really. I'm me, but at this, when people say it, now I'm thinking about it, we are different because we've studied that from a young age, and now it's like we think it's normal, but in reality, it's not too normal.
Yeah, being a people observer, people watcher like we are, I mean, I think people frown upon that. It's like, why are you that way? Why don't you just be in the moment? I'm like, nah, I am in a moment, but I'm just observing because I can learn. I can learn from everybody else's actions, not just my own actions. I'm not a fool, right? So I'm just like, okay, I see that you did that and that worked for you. Or I see that she did this and then, okay, that didn't work or that did work. Okay, what is the difference between like, I have like conversations with myself.
Strategic.
Strategic, and I'm like,
I be messing myself up though. This is bad for me because I'm like,
you tell me this all the time.
Yeah, you're worse. That's why I said I know Obi's going crazy because I think he's worse than me and I think I'm going crazy. So I said, the fact that he's on game, I think, more than me to that point, I said I know his mind's going crazy because my mind is in the place where I'd be like, I'm always on a swivel. Anywhere I go, I'm watching everybody in the room. I'm seeing how everybody's doing this. I don't know why I'm like this, but I'm just grained and I'm built like this to the point now I'm just like, it just happens for the rest of my life now.
I just don't put it past anybody. Like, that's the main thing. It's not like I'm cynical or I don't like, I will say I don't trust people. I don't, but it's like, I'm not going to act weird. And I'm going to always give everyone a chance. And so I was talking to somebody about this, like, she's talking about my emotions. She was asking me and she's like, are you an emotional person? I'm like, no, because I'm just transparent. You know, like I accept life for what it is. And I just kind of respect life and I respect things and I respect people and I just ask that they do the same thing. But if people give me a bad vibe or I'm all about first impression, if you give me a bad first impression, then you just get put in a tier and I just treat you accordingly. But I don't take I don't take it or the game of life personally, so to speak.
That's a good way to look at it. It's like I think I'm getting to that maturity level where it's like because I used to just want to fight everybody if I get mad. And it's still there, but I'm trying to leave it. I'm trying to be able to be like, it's okay, Lennon. I know how that person moves accordingly. I still be cordial with you, but like I know what it is from this point on.
Oh.
And that's moving accordingly. So I do try to do that, but it's hard.
See, the thing that I then this is just my mentality because I mean, I understand that it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I just like me who wants to fight everyone. I was once that kid, and that's what they want you to do. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to mess with your head by just like actually being articulate. It's like, wait, no, I want you to be a hoodlum and like act up. I'm like, nah. I'm going to wish you a blessed day.
that will do it because like LeBron's good at it. LeBron's real good. Like when I say like me, you see why KD gets so Like, why are you replying to them? Like, you're an NBA player. Like, KD has to realize I'm on his side what he's doing. Cause I'm like him. I probably would have said something on social media. But you have to realize that as soon as you do that, they win because they're like, you're supposed to be basically not human if you're a celebrity or something. So LeBron, he doesn't, cause with the skip stuff, I don't know how he's doing that. Like, I would have
Yeah,
been
man.
so,
He ain't never
I'd have
added him. He
been,
ain't never went at him.
he never said nothing to him. I would have said, you know what, Skip Bayless, you are the most hating individual I've ever. I would have probably been said that, but he just keeps it cool. And I'm like, that's dope because it's like he probably talks with his homeboys about it, but like other than that, it's just crazy. So you have a point. Maybe I need to change my ways. I think I'm just too crazy in some ways.
Maybe I just need to be a little bit more combustible, but then I'm like, nah, man, glass, that's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a balance. Like, I mean, again, you know, like, because the way I am, people will try to think, okay, maybe we could test them a little bit. And I'm like, nah, it's not going to work either. You know what I'm saying? You have to always understand, like, with everything, there's balance and there's give and take. So just understand it. And like, I know how I am this way. Like, because people say, oh, LeBron's fake because he doesn't go at everybody. I'm like, that's what y'all want. And he's just not giving y'all what y'all want. Just like after 2011 when they lost. And like, that was the one time he was as transparent as he was. And he was like, look, the people who wished on my downfall, you got to wake up tomorrow and you still got
And
to
be
be
the
real.
same
I was
person.
like, dang. But
It's true though. It's
that's the
like
truth.
you guys still have to wake up and be. I'm gonna wake up in a mansion. I have a beautiful wife. I have three good kids. It's like, what else do you guys want me to do? Okay, I missed the last shot. I get it. I'm supposed to be Jordan and Kobe and them and this, but at the same day, like I am human. I'm gonna go home and still have a good thing. Y'all expect me to go home and be like. That's what I don't like about the comparisons with Michael Jordan, and I'm gonna sum it up with that. But Jordan, that is because it's like the whole you gotta be like him, you gotta go home and be sad. It's like we all can be our own individuals and have our own opinions and do it how it is. So it's a hit or miss at that point.
I don't understand why people don't appreciate individuality. It's like we're different, we're unique, and that's supposed to be why humans are, you know, a different species, because we don't act the same, we don't think the same. But we'll keep it there. I mean, just going forward, I mean, we've kind of touched on, you know, just understanding winning and losing and just building yourself up in career. I think in business, we talked about that too. Now, being thankful to all the relationships that we've had, you know, both good and bad. You know, we're not just talking about dating relationships, but just
I
all the
like that
friendships.
question.
Huh? Like that
I like
question?
that topic. I like that question a lot. The good or bad. Most people wouldn't put bad in it.
Why? I see, I'm different that way. I take good and bad experiences and you try to learn from. See, the reason why people don't
That's the
like
problem.
bad relationships or bad experiences is because they don't want to learn from them. They want to dwell on them and they want to lack accountability and say, oh, it's because of that person why my life is this way. Nah, man, it's just this is who you were at that time. And this is what they were at that time. You guys want to match or they did this. Okay, they did it. Why they do that? Once you figure that out, we can move on. But I don't dwell on the past. That's why I don't mind good and bad relationships, good and bad interactions. I'm like, okay, I did this. This is what it is. All right, now I learned and I try to dust myself off and be better from it.
No, literally, it's because like at that time when you're hurting, it could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be fitness, it could be whatever your craft is, you could have a good or a bad to it. What I've realized from the bad was I've always came out the other side. I've always came out. Maybe I don't know if I, but I feel like I was at top from anything that went bad for me. I've came out in that situation. I'm like, dang, like at that moment, you're like, I'm losing. Like, this is the worst feeling ever. And then when it all settles down, you're like, oh, I'm me. And let me get that hustle mentality going. I always use that for everything. Just let me just go grind. And maybe I resort to things like that. I turn all my hurt or my anger into hustling in some way, fitness, go and get some money, go get this. I'm just gonna go be the greatest person ever. So you might as well just, you're gonna have to see me at some point because I'm just gonna be, even if you block me, even if you do this, you're gonna see me somewhere eventually, or you're gonna see me do. That's how I look at it. It just depends on how you like look at it from that standpoint.
I have a question. So
Answer.
you do that too. You and I both have the mindset that when we go through something, especially if it's bad or if we go through some type of, adversity, heartbreak, it makes us want to work, right? And we kind of, that's our channel, that's our outlet. I was asked that recently, that with being that way, does that not give yourself that opportunity to really go through that adversity and those emotions transparently and be able to like overcome them? Instead, you're compensating through your work. Because that was a fair question when I was asked it, because I'm like, that's maybe what a lot of workaholics do. Rather than facing the issues or the challenges that they have going on, they just use their work as their outlet.
Shaq said that he hasn't been able to fully go through like the Kobe death, his sister's death, and just a lot of different things. But for me, I actually went through my first heartbreak after that, and then I did take those 2 years off. And with those 2 years off, I got to learn a lot about myself. And I'm like, dang, this is crazy that what you did think about, it's not really, once day and day goes by, the beginning is horrible. And then once day and day goes by, you figure out it's not as bad. And then going into the second relationship, I'm like, I knew the whole world.
Right.
And then I went to a new relationship. I'm like, oh, there's still some stuff that is, because everybody's different. You're handling different emotions, handling different things. And it's like you have to adjust. So I'm still learning myself, but I think you can heal and still be a workaholic, because the thing is, you have to go home. I tell everybody, you have to go home. You have to be, especially if you live by yourself, you have to stay there by yourself. It's gonna hit you at some point in them 24 hours. I don't know when it's gonna hit you, but it's gonna hit you at some point in them 24 hours. And if they hit you in that 24 hours, then embrace it. Let it hit you. Let it hurt. Let that pain really hurt you. And then when it hurts you, you're gonna learn from it. You can only learn from really just like is. Diamonds making pre like that pressure of hurt just really making you just become a better person. So I think that's how you got to take it. Like, let it come in, let it sting, let it affect you, but just know you can't stay down for too long. You can't sit there and mope for a week or two, eat ice cream, this and this, or you can't, if you got work to do and you got fired, oh, I'm not gonna apply for a job for another 3 or 4 weeks. Well, sir, your bills are still have to get paid at the end of this month, so you can't do that. So you got to get up and you have to go hustle. You have no other choice but to get up and keep going.
Whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you
Makes you stronger.
stranger and stronger. Now I'm playing. That was a joke, a reference, but no, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like whatever you need to be able to go through that. Like for me, I'm a person who tries to live by like I don't have to go through things more than once. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, once I did it the first time, I'm like, hey, now I always know how to do it, and now I already have things in place to where, okay, when this happens, if I do feel some type of insert negative emotion here, I'm able to channel that. And I think that's my main thing, where people will be like, that's weird. Like you have a outlet for everything, or like you reprogram yourself to not feel emotion. It's like, I mean, if I need to feel it, fine, no problem. I have empathy, so I'm all for other people having their emotion and like other people crying or whatever. If like that's your way of doing it, my way of doing it is I have something in place for everything, right? Where I'm like, okay, I can't let this stuff slow me down. It's not gonna slow me down. So I just got to figure out a way to actively recover and just keep on moving. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's my way. That's my coping mechanism, if you will.
Yeah, I don't think it's a one fits all for anybody.
Nope.
Everybody's gonna have it differently. I think that's why I said season two is gonna be really fun for us, is because we're gonna get so many different emotions and so many different opinions. Unfortunately, we both have similar mindsets. So having another person that's not like us, who's not cold, who is emotional, we'd love to see how they feel. Like, somebody might sit there and say, well, who just wants to sit there and just be coped in their house and do this? I'd be like, I love that. But like, to me, it just depends on who you are. So everybody's gonna have a different approach.
Back. So then we get to this whole point of playing the game of life, and be grateful for the opportunity that you have the chance to play, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people, and don't get so caught up in what level you start off at, but just keep on climbing it up and keep on advancing. I think this is why guys like video games, especially like these like journey type video games, like Grand Theft Auto and stuff, because it is a matter of going through. It's like going through life. You got challenges, you have obstacles, you have to figure out things, you have to navigate through things, and then once you get to the end goal, get to the Holy Grail, it's like, okay, finally mission accomplished. After all this work, I finally get to this final prize. And I think that's what we're trying to do in life, real time. We go through these obstacles, we work, we get up every day, We figure things out. We go out. We tackle challenges all to get to an end goal. And once we get to the end goal, and then, you know, we know life's going to be, it's not going to be easy, but we've got life figured out to the point where we feel like we can tackle anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think what I don't know, maybe it's because it's time change. This time change has been messing me up as well. But I feel like around this time, it does feel like more love and more, like, good, great people are trying to be nice around this time. So I just say have that gratitude and never forget where it can go. It can always get worse. It can always get worse, but just know it can always get better. I'd say just enjoy your holidays and look next to each other and just know that everybody can do it, and don't worry about highs and lows. Don't worry about wins and losses. Just worry about sticking to the plan and sticking to the script every day.
Well, definitely. Shoot. Well, that'll sum it up real talk. So 98 episodes down, my guy. We're almost there.
Two more. Nice. And then we're going to have a little break for holidays, and we're gonna come back strong, y'all. I promise.
Yep, season 3. So we already got people lined up. We already got guests lined up. We already got different avenues, different fields, different routes, different career paths. And we're going to get back to interviewing people. And we're still going to, you know, have our little, you know, talks. But, you know, and we'll digress and we'll go deeper. You know, the more experience we get and the more people, the more minds we get to pull together, I mean, the better the content is going to be at the end of the day. I mean, there's no marketing firm. There's no marketing team. It's just us, you know, kind of just building this thing from the ground up. But the fact is that, you know, we're slowly starting to build our name and build ourselves up into something that's going to be a serious force to be reckoned with. And, you know, it's all for the people who continue to support us and rock with us and believe in us. That's all it is for me. But that's all I got. L, you got anything else?
No, I don't got anything. I think Obi just put the cherry on top, and I think that's what I got from that.
Good. Well, I'll do it for this week again. You know, happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays to y'all as we get through these times. And you know, just remember to keep on running your race always. We'll catch y'all next week, and we out.
Feet on the ground with a prove you wrong mindset. I'd rather go out on my sword than have my mind tapped. The ones with eyes can never see, I make the blind clap. I'm bringing back that type of sound that wants divine rap. Divine rap, homie.